This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Hey, it's 12:03 Friday afternoon, August 30th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Getting as early a start as possible is important when trying to help elderly parents with their finances. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, there's a trio of reports on the economic front today. The Fed's favored inflation indicator, consumer sentiment, and business activity in the Chicago region. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at andrewbush.com, based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Andy, thanks for joining us today. And when it comes to inflation, the PCE is the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, and it was right on the line, up 0.2% in July, a 2.6% increase from a year ago.
Yeah, this is good numbers, and it just shows the data continues to point in the direction of declining inflation overall. The Fed targets this data. I mean, their 2.0% target for this number is achievable. And so I think that's why we're going to see a 25 basis point rate cut in September. It does somewhat take away the capability of a 50 basis point rate cut. The data that came out today actually allowed or generated from the Atlanta Federal Reserve's GDP Now estimates to go from 2% in the third quarter to 2.5%. So this is like a Goldilocks scenario, not only for the economy and for jobs, but also for the markets.
I mean, you talk about this being a Goldilocks scenario, and there's been a lot of discussion over the past 2 years. When does the pivot come, going from hawkish to dovish as far as monetary policy is concerned? But it seems like there's another pivot at work here, and that is the conversation is going to pivot from inflation to keeping the labor market on a state of good footing. And in order to do that, you'll probably have to cut interest rates.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question right now that we don't know. Obviously, when we had those massive revisions to how many jobs were created over the last year, that caused the markets to think about it and think that the Fed is behind the curve. But I think the recent the weekly jobless claims numbers support that the job market is not falling apart at all. We'll get the numbers next week, right, on Friday. But for now, I think this is just like there's, you know, Goldilocks data. I mean, lowering inflation, job data is okay. Monetary easing, people are expecting that, and they're decent July end earnings. So that for the financial markets, this is great news overall.
We're crunching the numbers with Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Consumer sentiment ticked up in late August. And how can we view consumer sentiment these days? I mean, sometimes it seems like it's the gas price indicator. Sometimes it's the inflation indicator. What are some of the things driving this consumer's better vibes these days?
Yeah, I mean, it's really driven by gas prices. I mean, it's only like if you're looking at the Michigan University of Michigan consumer sentiment, I mean, it's really closely tied to the price of gasoline. The price of gasoline's been coming down. I mean, here's the big thing that I tell clients to think about. Why is the price of crude oil still in the 70s when you have all of this turmoil in the Middle East? And the answer is because China is so much slower in their economic growth than we anticipated. So that's keeping the demand for oil low. That's keeping gasoline prices low. And that helps all the consumers in the United States and makes them feel a little bit better.
And then very quickly, business activity in the Chicago area or the Chicago region, the Fed Chicago region, still in contraction territory. What story does that tell outside of the fact that the economic recovery is real, but it can be uneven?
Yeah, I think this is really more along the lines of because the Midwest is a lot more manufacturing than the rest of the country. I think it's more emblematic that goods production has been taking a hit overall. It had its heyday in 20, 21, and 22. And then people returned to their normal behavior of, you know, demanding more services than goods. So I think it's just reflective of it. It bounced from its lows. It was a little bit better than expected. So overall, it's not horrible, but it's just really reflective of what the bigger trend for the United States is.
Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist. Thank you for joining us today.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Navigating an elderly parent's finances can be challenging. Knowing when and how to step in is crucial. Joining us with some key advice is Tony Orgorek, founder of Orgorek Wealth Management in Buffalo, New York. Tony, thank you for joining us today. And this is a conversation. It's never easy to have, and it's a subject that's very difficult to broach. And can you do it diplomatically?
Well, you know, Rob, it depends on the relationship you have with your parents and also, you know, what your parents' experience has been with money. So, for example, some people are very open about their finances. Other people are very, very close to the vest and don't feel that it's anyone's business to be poking their nose in their business. There's also been a change in philosophy about money gifting. Many people years ago used to believe that, you know, you don't get the money until I die. Today, I think people are much more liberal. So, you know, your personal relationship, I think, is sort of the key to it. But there are some red flags that I think, you know, if you're observationally aware, may be a tip-off for a conversation. One of them is visiting your parents and noticing that there are a lot of bills laying around or there's a lot of mail that's unopened. That may be something. You may notice that they've had unusual purchases, like typically they may not have an expensive, piece of furniture, vehicle, whatever the case may be. These are observational things that you're able to take a look at. In the event, you know, you're having a conversation, they mention just the cost of things, what it's costing, or their income doesn't go as far, you know, that's maybe another tip off that it may be time to, you know, talk a little bit more about their finances.
And it's not just you as the child talking or talking to your parent or parents about this situation. You also have to loop in siblings and maybe grandchildren into this conversation. Now we've it's almost an annual segment, Tony, on the Noon Business Hour. We talk about maybe, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas. It's a good time to have that conversation because everybody's under the same roof. But it's not a one-to-one discussion. You have siblings involved, and they may have very different opinions on what you're trying to do.
Well, that's correct. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, as people get older, you know, what we try to do is suggest that they, you know, for instance, work with a one floor plan of their home or give up their Corvette, something like that. Well, we can take the same approach with money. So, for example, we may say any financial institution you're dealing with, your advisor, you should have a trusted contact form. In the event they notice something's unusual about your parent, they will contact you. Many vendors or utilities are able to have the third-party notification, or insurance companies. In the event their bill isn't paid, you get notified of that. You know, you should be trying to set up auto pays on your parents on some of the various accounts or the utility accounts. And, you know, they also may have client portals, you know, where they have credentials for, and you know, you may be able to ask them for credentials just to take a look at what's happening. One other thought, if you are, you know, if they have investment accounts, you can also ask their advisor for duplicate confirmations or duplicate monthly statements to be sent to you so you can take a look at them. One final point, in the event, and there is a lot of scamming that goes on, you know, you may be able to have a text message set up tied to their checking account, which says, in the event that a withdrawal in excess of whatever the dollar amount is made, you get a notification of that.
Tony Agoric, founder of Agoric Wealth Management in Buffalo, New York, thank you for joining us today. Good, actionable advice. Coming up next, there's less pain at the gas pump for Labor Day weekend driving this year.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Some good news for drivers on this Labor Day weekend as gas prices at the pump move lower. Joining us now with the latest is Patrick DeHaan, Senior Petroleum Analyst at GasBuddy.com in Chicago. Patrick, thank you for joining us today. And if you are hitting the highways, if you have not done so already, if you are driving somewhere this holiday weekend, what can you expect when you hit the gas station?
Well, Rob, the good news is after that Joliet refinery went down a little over 4 weeks ago, we've seen gas prices plummeting. Chicagoland's average price down 47 cents a gallon in the last 30 days. The average now about $3.89 a gallon. That's 46 cents lower than last year going into Labor Day. All of our neighboring states also seeing gas prices decline. In fact, north of the border into Wisconsin, you may even run into a stray $2.99 or lower price, something that could be more prevalent in the region as we move into the fall.
Yeah, I was going to say, Patrick, one thing I have noticed in doing the low gas prices segment at 37 past each hour, that we're starting to see some twos pop up, not only in Wisconsin, but in the Chicago area, the $2.99, $2.98 per gallon prices.
Yeah, and we certainly will likely be hearing more about that here in the months ahead. Again, all of this really due to lower gasoline consumption that we saw this summer, giving us a little bit of breathing room. And also some developing news today, OPEC is largely expected to start resuming oil production. It had cut oil production a little over a year ago. Some of that oil production that had been cut now expected to come back, and that is bringing the price of crude oil down over $2 a barrel, something that may and likely will benefit consumers here in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, Patrick, one thing you mentioned on your Twitter account, at GasBuddyGuy, is that this trend should continue as long as the refineries hold up and as long as we don't see a major Gulf Coast hurricane, because even though hurricane season has been quiet so far, it continues until the end of November.
That's right. We do have the typical caveats. Obviously, refinery outages can happen. They're unpredictable. We are still in the peak of hurricane season. There are a couple of areas of interest by the National Hurricane Center that they're monitoring, but those likely would be at least a week away. So still some caveats, maybe some road bumps that we'll have to keep an eye on. But all in all, expecting broadly lower gas prices the deeper we get into autumn.
It's also interesting to note, you mentioned that OPEC is going to start slowly ramping up production. Crude oil trading at about $73.73 a barrel right now. And it seems remarkable that some analysts say that we're seeing oil prices this low, especially given the geopolitical tension in the Middle East, which is at a boil once again.
Well, and speaking about at a boil, not only the Middle East tensions, but OPEC members frustrated with the lack of oil production quotas, including the UAE, who you could see some dissension amongst OPEC producers. Obviously, Saudi Arabia and Russia need higher oil prices to sustain their budgets. But countries like UAE are sick and tired of waiting to raise output, as U.S. output now is all-time record highs. They want a piece of that oil revenue. So even amongst oil producers, there's a lot of disagreement, and that's likely why OPEC is feeling some pressure to start increasing production.
One might say they're in disarray. Patrick DeHaan, Senior Petroleum Analyst, GasBuddy.com in Chicago, thank you for talking to us today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grade. Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. It's a busy time for Labor Day weekend travel at the airports and on the road. Then last night, Vice President Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz took part in their first interview together since the DNC in Chicago a week ago. It's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour. We'll talk with a comic book shop owner who's been in business for more than 3 decades. Plus, we'll look at the forecast for potential market turbulence next month. Business. The markets are... Let's check those markets. The markets are mixed right now. The Dow is down 104 points, NASDAQ up 49, and the S&P 500 up 7. We have 83 degrees right now under partly sunny skies. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. The Chicago Department of Aviation expects nearly 1.75 million Labor Day weekend passengers to pass through O'Hare and Midway airports through Tuesday. Today is expected to be the busiest day at Midway, more than 58,000 travelers at Midway. O'Hare's busiest day Monday, when more than 270,000 people are expected to be traveling through the airport, and those driving will have plenty of company. While AAA hasn't forecast Illinois travel numbers, they say the U.S. summer travel season is a record-breaking blockbuster. And when they do hit the road, you just heard it from Patrick DeHaan, those drivers will see low gas prices. Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, are continuing their bus tour through Georgia after sitting down for their first interview of the presidential campaign yesterday.
It was an exclusive interview with CNN, and it covered a wide range of issues, including whether Harris would change U.S. policy toward Israel.
I remain committed since I've been on October 8 to what we must do to work toward a two-state solution, where Israel is secure and in equal measure the Palestinians have security and self-determination and dignity.
Harris also said as president she would not ban fracking, even as she remains committed to green energy policies. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are mixed today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearstead Advisors, based in New York. Jim, thank you for joining us today.
Sure.
The inflation report, the PCE, the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, in years gone by, and by that I'm talking about 2022 or 2023, the inflation report used to be a market mover, and it seems today that the investors are kind of shrugging it off.
Well, don't forget, it's Friday before Labor Day. It's the end of the month, and people don't want to go into the weekend largely exposed, either long or short. So I wouldn't take today seriously. In terms of the inflation number, it was about as expected, which also might explain why it was not market moving. It's generally going in the right direction. If you strip out the rent component, the feeling on Wall Street is that
core PCE is actually at about 1.7. So it's actually at the Fed's target. So the numbers this morning, the income numbers, the spending numbers, the inflation numbers, were all supportive of the soft landing scenario. Now, next week, we're going to get a lot of information on the labor market, the jobs openings, the ADP, the payrolls, hourly wages. And so that'll be the next check, because that's what the Fed's watching in terms of how much they're going to cut and when.
And on top of that, when it comes to surprises out of the PCE, if you take the consumer price index figure and the producer price index figure, just some back-of-the-napkin math can give you a good idea of what that PCE number is going to be.
Yeah, and that's exactly why it came in sort of at forecast and was not a surprise. It would have been a negative surprise if it had been hotter than expected, but that explains it. All the numbers this morning were as expected, and again, you combine that with Friday before Labor Day, and that's why you're not getting much action at all. I think most people have started to head for the lakes and the beaches and the mountains.
Has the Fed's job changed now? I mean, is it official to say that that job has changed? Because since late 2021, every move made by the Fed has been with fighting inflation in mind. Is the inflation fight over, and now we're talking about the Fed and the job market going forward?
For the moment, the Fed has declared that now it's the job market that's the most important function, that they would like to, they think they've achieved or are close to achieving their inflation goal, and now they want to make sure it does not result in a deteriorating job market from here. So for the next several months, that will be the key issue. Now, as we work our way, you know, through past the elections and into the spring of next year, we'll see who gets elected, what their programs are. Is there new spending? Are there tariffs? And what does that mean for inflation and deficits? And we'll revisit it. But between now and the end of the year, payrolls are what matter.
And then when it comes to payrolls, I mean, there have been nothing. There's nothing inside the weekly report on unemployment claims that suggests bad things are coming. They're still at historic lows or near historic lows. What type of employment report next Friday? What do investors need to see? They need to see a robust number. Do they need to see revisions upward? What's going to make them feel good? Conversely, what's going to make them anxious?
Yeah, so I think something around 160, 170 is the consensus. And that would be good if it came in there, because it would still be healthy without overheating or deteriorating. If it were above 200, that would create some inflation worries. If it were below 100, that would create some recession worries. So something in the mid 150, 170 is what the market is expecting and hoping for.
Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearset Advisors in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in this Entrepreneur Friday, we'll introduce you to the owner of a popular Chicago comic book shop that's been in business for 36 years.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Hey, it's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour. Today, we meet the man behind Atlas Comics, mainstay in the city since 1988. Welcome in John Stageland, owner of Atlas Comics on 5251 North Harlem in Chicago. It's on Harlem between Higgins and Foster. John, thank you for joining us today. And you are the man behind Atlas Comics. This is not a secret identity.
No, I'm out in the open and fully available to everybody.
Just a mild-mannered Chicago business owner. You've been doing this since 1988. And the one thing that always occurs to me, going past any comic book shop, also thinking about the comic book shops that I used to go to when I was growing up on the southwest side of Chicago, is that those stores had inside of them billions and billions of dollars worth of intellectual property. I mean, when you opened in 1988, could you have imagined that all the storylines and the characters contained inside those comic books would literally be keeping Hollywood afloat 30-some-odd years later?
I can tell you confidentially, absolutely not. I could not have imagined the way it's shaken out. And even after one of the first big successes in multimedia, and, you know, it had been going on since the 1940s. There were movie serials and things like that back in the day. But the first Michael Keaton Batman movie, I believe, came out in 89. And that was a huge success. But even after that, I couldn't have imagined this level of popularity and this level of economic impact to the entertainment industry.
You mentioned the first Tim Burton Batman movie came out a year after you opened, and there were some comic book movies as art up to that point. I mean, the most the notable examples I can think of are Superman 1 and 2, which was the first kind of really big Hollywood blockbuster push into using comic books as movie source material, because you had, you know, Mario Puzo was the writer, you had Marlon Brando, you had this all-star cast, and then you get into Disney buying Marvel, and now it's just a giant thing. And the success of Marvel Comics on the screen, how does that translate into business for you?
Well, it's brought in a lot of new and younger readers. For a fair amount of time in the 80s and even into the 90s, the readership base was kind of stagnant. It was growing older, and the companies weren't doing a lot to try to bring in new generational readers. And the movies have really done that. I find a lot of parents coming in, fathers coming in with their sons, even being, you know, parents coming in with their daughters to get into the world of comics and kind of pass it along to the next generation. And that's made a huge difference. The other thing is, because we do, our main focus is vintage comics and, you know, classic old back issues. So the movies have driven the value of those classic comics up, because as you have more and more characters coming into the MCU, people are interested in, what's the first appearance of Captain America? What's the first appearance of Thor? Those books are more sought after than ever before, so those prices are going up. And people are always coming in to look for the next big thing, sometimes to try to resell it on eBay or what have you, but mostly to build their collection with those cornerstones that have come into the public consciousness through the movies.
One thing that's also interesting, I have three young girls at home, and they're all in grade school, and graphic novels are now a sanctioned part of a student's reading curriculum. If you're having if you want to be considered a reader, they have these graphic novel adaptations of particular books, and that may be how you read compared to reading a traditional book. And is that bringing younger kids in as well? Because graphic novels and comic books, that's how they read.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And if you're going to ask me what surprises me more, the popularity of the movies and the economic impact of those, or the fact that comic books have become so accepted and graphic novels are now being taught not only in college, but they're being used in high school and grammar school to teach people to read and to introduce them to different types of literature and stories and so on. That really, to me, is the big picture of what's happened during the time that I've been in this business, is how, not just because of economic impact, but because of a new attitude towards how stories are told and how people consume culture, that the comic book is now mainstream in almost every area of life.
And then lastly, John, and my most important question, that is, it's been a while since I opened a comic book. Can I still get the X-ray specs out of the back of the comic book, or maybe the Sea Monkeys?
Well, you know what? I think if you send your check to that address, it's probably going to come back. You know, nobody here at this address anymore. All the advertising now is for high-end merchandise. It's cars. It's video games, et cetera, et cetera. So the days of the Sea Monkeys and the toy submarine, they're gone, unfortunately.
John Stageland, owner of Atlas Comics in Chicago. He's been approved by the Comics Code Authority, I believe. You can find him on Harlem between Higgins and Foster on the Northwest Side. Still to come, a look at why September's traditional market turbulence could be different this year.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Next month typically brings turbulence to the market, but in presidential election years, it can defy its reputation as the cruelest month. Joining us to explain is Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And of course, back in May, we talked about that old saw, sell in May and go away. Well, Labor Day is Monday, so what happens now that you come back?
Well, That's a good question. First, we should acknowledge that the market has actually done very well this summer, despite that reputation. And it perhaps that's a good qualifier as we go into this conversation. There are lots of seasonalities on Wall Street, and it makes for great conversation. Most of us who should be focusing on the long term probably shouldn't be changing our portfolios very much or at all based on these seasonalities. But going to September, you're quite right about its bad reputation. In fact, September has by far and away the worst average performance of any month of the calendar. It's not even close. And people have struggled for years to try to figure out why that is. And one thing that is sort of staring at us in the face and no one's really focused on, it turns out that presidential election years don't follow that model. So really, it's September and the other 3 years of the cycle are awful. And then during presidential election years, I wouldn't say it's great on average, but at least it's a gain. And so even if you were otherwise inclined to follow the bad seasonality and get out of stocks, you wouldn't want to do it this year because it's a presidential election year.
What is it about presidential election years that make it so unique?
Well, again, we can only speculate because not very many people have even focused on that until I recently was able to come up with realizing that there is this regularity in the data. I can speculate, though, and I think it's probably clear that, I mean, any party, whether it's Republican or Democrat, the incumbent party is going to try to make the economy look as good as possible as we approach the election. And that's hardly controversial. I think a lot of people and a lot of economists will recognize that's the case. And one of the impacts of that will be that the stock market's not going to really fall that much in September, and hopefully we'll do even better as we approach October and the election day in November.
And then also, just given the amount of information we have about polling and much more robust analytics now compared to 4 years ago or 20 years ago, can you use that information to make really good assumptions about how the election is going to go? Or is it too early to do that right now?
Right. Yeah, I think the first part of your question is very relevant. Insofar as more and more people know about a pattern, that pattern will get discounted away because people will then try to sell earlier in August in order to avoid the decline in August. So you're quite right. This is what happens in a stock market with so many people trying to analyze the data, is that as soon as you discover it, it tends to go away.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com in Washington. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.